I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to GigPod episode 186, and I'm your host for this week's episode, Rizzo, and I'm joined by Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Not too bad, Rizzo, not too bad. Apologies to the listeners in advance because we're on a very noisy Molly Malone's this week. However, it is a Saturday, and I would say that is actually an advert for the pub that is this busy, but it's great to be here as always.
Yeah, we're in a spiritual home, even Molly Malone's once more, and thanks to Rame for hosting us again. And we're going to be talking about two games in this week's episode, the disappointing Champions League defeat to Feyenoord in midweek, and today's excellent 3-0 win against Livingston, which keeps us clear at the top of the league. So, Dan, I'll need to keep remembering to call you Dan, because I'm so used to calling you your non-diplume, as I used to call you.
My gimmick name.
Your gimmick name, yes, of course, that's over.
I have now broken kayfabe, of course.
Yes, you're now your own man at last. But yeah, so first of all, I think we should talk about the final game that was played on Tuesday night. We did say to listeners we would only do a pod if Celtic won or if we get hammered. We didn't win. We didn't get hammered. We lost 2-0, two players sent off. And really, it was the usual Celtic away from home, and nowadays Celtic at home, and the Champions League performance.
Pretty much. I thought, to be fair, for the majority of the first half, we actually played very well. Limited Feyenoord to not very many opportunities. But as you say there, typical, we give away a stupid goal right on the cusp of half-time, a terrible time to concede a goal, and just shoot ourselves in the foot again. Up to that point though, as I say, going into half-time, as much as I was annoyed at having lost that daft goal, I was able to take the positives from the performance. The second half though, John, just a total capitulation, and I think one or two players did really show their inexperience at that level.
Yeah, I thought both red cards were deserved, really. Yeah, I thought that the Baron was very naive. Like, doing a challenge like that in a Champions League game and home was just, I thought it was just a bad challenge. And again, it's naive. And we know that Brendan said in the aftermath, well, he said, I think, Thursday, that he wasn't really happy with the transfer window and that we need more players for experience. And I think that was showing up in the game against Feyenoord. Although, to be fair, Joe Hart and Kyogo didn't come to sailing glory with a free kick, but I mean, we still had a chance of getting back in the game and with 11 men, but as soon as the Baron got sent off, it was over. And really, in a way, 2-0 was respectable, but yet again in the Champions League, it's the same old mistakes.
Yeah, no, after the send it off, which, to be fair, I think has been forgotten a little bit, perhaps even more so now after the showing from him today, but Joe Hart did obviously save that penalty after Lagerbielke was sent off. But as I said there, once it came to that red card there, a goal down in the game, regardless of whether that penalty was scored or not, it's curtains for us. Brendan did say on Thursday as well, obviously he's trying to take the positives, which was that we'd limited it to 2-0 and it could come in handy later on in the group. We'll wait and see. I'm not really of that particular belief after that showing, and given the games ahead, I do think that if I've got anything to play for going into that final game that's realistic and not some outlandish set of circumstances that need to all fall together for us to stay in Europe after Christmas, then we'll be doing well. But yeah, just more disappointment really in the Champions League, which I know you and Stevie were hammered for talking about your disappointment at Celtic showing last season, but I have to echo your sentiment because I did think it was a real letdown.
We were, and look, we don't take that back because it was poor, and I thought the other night was poor, but it was just really what I expected. And we'll talk more about the Lazio game on the when we do a pod next week. But you're someone that watches Calcio. What are your thoughts on us getting anything at all against Lazio?
To be honest, I've not seen a whole lot of them this season. I saw a clip, obviously, of the goal against Atletico the other night from Providel, the goalkeeper, which was very dramatic. I know people were saying, one or two people were saying at the time, that could be a result that potentially favours us, given that it's obviously a draw between those two sides. Again, I think we'd be doing very, very well to be challenging them come match day six. Like, I think it's a long shot. I know that obviously we did the double over them back in 2019, beat them obviously 2-1 at Celtic Park and then again over in Italy, but I think we'd be doing very, very well to get anything out of that game 2 weeks from now. And that might sound harsh, but I'm sorry, that's just how I feel.
It'll be interesting to see if CCB comes back for that, because Brendan has said constantly that he'll be back at the start of October.
October 9th, I believe, he was quoted as saying on the Thursday.
Oh well, then he won't be back then.
He did bite back a little bit at that question, because he's obviously been getting it every week, but I think October 9th was the date that he gave, so...
Well, we're on international duty then, so listen, he'll be out for that game, which will be disappointing. I mean, it'll be... we'll talk obviously about this more next week, but it'll be interesting to see who plays in defence. With the Baron out, it'll be Scales and Iwata, I suppose. I mean,
as it stands, that's probably what you're expecting, isn't it? We'll wait and see.
I thought that was quite interesting then, that Iwata came on today in midfield, because I thought, when I saw him coming on, I thought, I wonder if he'll come on for either the Baron or Scales, because you don't... We've only got one game before we play last year, because for once we've got a free week this week, because we're after a humiliation against Kamala in the League Cup. It's the League Cup this week, of course, we're not playing, so we've got a free week. So I mean, if it's going to be a lot, he's not going to get any playing time, because we're not going to throw him in, I don't think, at centre half against Motherwell next week, knowing we've kept three clean sheets in the league in a row.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see in that one. I think they're probably hopeful that Phillips may be back by that point. But
I forgot about him, really.
It is a pretty... It's easily forgotten, given that all we've seen of him so far was 45 minutes. The emergency lone centre-back. And as bad old Lenny said today, we're now needing an emergency for the emergency.
Lenny was quite funny today, I have to say. What a guy he is. And he did big us up after it, I have to say. He did say it was a statement of intent and stuff. But more of that game in a minute. Now, the interesting thing I thought about the other night is that we didn't get the best out of Kyogo. But even though I've been critical of the system, where Kyogo's been playing as a sort of false nine, it is starting to pay dividends in the league at least, because, I mean, we've won our last three games, 7 goals scored, none conceded. We've actually not conceded a goal in the league since we played Aberdeen. So that's 4 clean sheets in a row. But I don't know, there's still something that needs to be clicking, maybe until the day. But I mean, in Europe, we need to try and find a way to get more out of Kyogo. I mean, he wasn't really involved at all the other night. We really only had 2 chances, I'd say. The first one was when we won the ball and Rio Hatate really should have played him in, but he decided to hit a shot.
He really should have played him in there, yeah.
It was like a Hollywood shot and hit a defender.
It was very, very selfish.
Sorry about that pause, listen, just taking a quick drink of Coors there, that great drink. Other drinks are available. But the only other chance was when Dyson, who really has impressed me this season, he beat his man for pace, that he should have got a yellow card, that guy that challenged him, and the goalie saved it. But even though things don't seem right, I thought Brendan actually did manage it tactically well up until they scored that goal. Because that was really their first real chance. They had that one that was offside when AG got caught on the wrong side of the guy. But then they'd like long shots, like headers over the bar, nothing. That was their first real chance. And that was just so typical as in Europe. The timing of the goal, the fact that it was a soft goal, and it was like a first chance. So I just don't see us learning for that this season. And the board obviously haven't helped, because I mean, when everybody's fit, I mean, well, any of the players that we bought this summer start, when everybody's available, I would have my doubts. I mean, Palmer, I don't want to be too critical of him, but I really, he's no Jota, let's face it. I mean, it's still early days, may not be good, but he's not got that like sort of dynamic style of play Jota had. He's very one-paced. He's
not quick at all. He's not, no. Honduran Haxa
Aye, he does remind me of Haxie. And but the thing is, Haxie actually did play well for us for a spell last season, mind up until the World Cup break. He won player of the month.
Yes, he was excellent in that game against Ross County.
That's right, scored the winning goal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's still early and I don't want to write him off because he's only played like a game. And obviously, Brendan must think it's something about him. He's thrown him into a Champions League away game. And, like, I don't know. We'll just need to wait and see.
We obviously had the injury to Leila Bada, not ideal.
No, that's costless.
I think, to be honest, it says a lot more about the recruitment in the summer that we've thrown him in for his first start at Champions League level off the back of, I don't know what it was, a 20-25 minute cameo at the weekend against Dundee. You can't really... Again, I know I've christened him the Honduran Haxie there, which might sound as if I'm being harsh. I'm trying not to be. As you say, he might prove to be a good player for us, but you can't expect him to perform at his top level, having played very little football in this team.
No, and there's been a lot of criticism after the game of the board, especially when we released that statement the other day saying we had £72 million in the bank. Good old Celtic reading the room as usual. Before we go into the game of the day, do you think Njangiri will actually buy the experienced players that we need, or do you think it'll be more of the punts? Because I think there's a chance that Brendan could leave at the end of the season if he's no giving the players he wants in the summer.
Ah, but John, you're forgetting he's signed for 3 years. So
of course,
he'll be here for 3 years.
He'd never
unless
leave
he gets
us,
emptied before that.
That's true, he'd never leave us.
He would never lie to us, John.
No, he wouldn't, he not.
No, like, I've got to hope that there will be some additions in January. There are certainly some problem areas that need to be addressed, which I'm sure we will talk about when we're talking about today's game and a certain man and his decision making.
Yes.
But I would be hopeful in January that there will be reinforcements, but then you need to obviously take into account whether or not he'll be able to attract the right calibre of player, because at this moment in time I can't see his being involved in European football after Christmas.
No, and I actually think Brendan has done quite well. I mean, if you take away the Kilmarnock game, which in every team was a bad day, and I think because it was in the League Cup and we were out of the Cup, people were more annoyed about it. And if it was a league game, we can just say, oh, I was playing that terrible pitch, these things happen. St Johnson, I mean, we still should have won. Like, I mean, we did miss some subtles. That was like one of those games. But then we've been to Pittodrie, Ibrox and New Livingston, a place where we usually struggle, and 3 wins out of 3. And I think, but I know there'll always be people against Brendan because of the way he left, but I think he's actually doing well. But there'll always will be people against him, so he'll always be fighting that battle. What he should do more is have consultations with stewards at the end of games and rescue fans that are going to be arrested.
We will come on to that because that was excellent. A real highlight from today's performance.
Unfortunately, it looks like Malls are just going to show rugby, so hopefully that the sound doesn't come in. But then, was it England that are playing rugby? Hopefully that doesn't overwhelm us. But there you go, these things happen as a Saturday. Right, so on to today's game where we played Livingston at a wonderful Tony Macaroni Arena, a place where we had won on our last two visits after years of being rubbish there. I actually made a mistake talking about this game before. I thought that Brendan had lost a game as manager here, but
no, it was nothing.
It was nothing each. And actually, Ryan
Christie got sent off.
No, that was when the season
was
after.
That was the defeat on the
Lenny. It was actually nothing each. A very boring game I was at. Nothing at all happened. And then the season later, of course, we lost 2-0 when Chester gets sent off. And we drew 2 each as well, the last away game before COVID.
Okay.
But we were going in the back of 2 comfortable wins there, the last 2 times, like 3-1 and 3-0. Mm-hmm. And looking at the starting lineup for the game, Brendan sprung a surprise, or was it? James Forrest, his first start since January against Livingston today. And he started the last 2 games against Livingston, we won as well. So do you think that was why he picked Forrest?
They discussed this a bit on good old Sky Sports before the game. I don't necessarily think so, to be honest. I think it's down more to the performances of other players in those areas. We mentioned, obviously, Palmer, who was kind of thrown in at the deep end in midweek, but didn't play particularly well. And as I said, has not played a lot of football in this team. Yang's obviously been getting minutes, started obviously last weekend against Dundee, but I think it's fairly obvious from watching him at this moment in time that he is lacking in that final product. So no, I wasn't overly surprised, to be honest, to see Forrest come back in. I think with his experience there, you mentioned obviously the last couple of times I've been there. Was it 3-0 or was it 3-1 game where he had a very good performance?
3-1 he scored.
The 3-1, that was the game I was thinking of there. So no, I wasn't overly surprised, to be honest. I think, as I say, generally with the injuries at the moment, and not necessarily a lack of depth, but a lack of maybe quality in those wide areas just now, I wasn't really too surprised to see him come back in. And I thought he played well, by the way, until he was hooked.
He did play decently enough, yeah, we'll talk about that more in a minute, why he was hooked. Apart from Forrest, it was the same team that started in midweek, no other changes, so that meant Forrest, Dyson and Kyogo up front, and the centre-back pairing of Liam Scales and the Baron, and we'll talk about them more in a couple of minutes. But Celtic took the lead early on, and it was down to Greg Taylor and Rio Hatate. Greg Taylor, who had an interesting game, I think he had more touches in the ball than any other player. I think he had 20 touches in the first 10 minutes.
In that opening 20-25 minutes, he was absolutely excellent.
He was back in his inverted role.
Yep, yep. He was very, very good in that opening 20-25 minutes. And as you say, he obviously was a key contributor in his winning that penalty there. It's getting to the stage, John, at the minute, where I think we're going to have to come up with some sort of a graphic to post on that wonderful website now known as X every time we win a penalty, because it is really becoming a beloved weekly gimmick at this stage for us domestically.
Even the useless John Beaton, more of him in a minute, couldn't not give the penalty. It was a great ball in for Taylor. He'd cut inside, a ball inside to Rio Hatate. He was filled in the box, still more penalty. Hatate scored, but it wasn't a good penalty, was it?
It was not, no. I think he was doing his best Giakoumakis impression there, trying to miss a penalty against Livingston. It did go in, as you say, but as much as David Turnbull, who looks to be the preferred penalty taker at the minute, obviously wasn't on the pitch, I think for future instances where he is not on to take a penalty, I would take Hatate off them off the back of that, to be honest with you. I thought it was a pretty dreadful penalty.
Maybe Dyson could take the penalties, because he never gets dropped. Dyson, has he took a penalty for us before?
What? I don't think he has, no. Obviously, Kyogo took that one down at Rugby Park, didn't he? And that was, I think that showed he was definitely not a penalty taker.
McGregor's missed them at
McGregor's
Livingston.
Missed a couple. McGregor missed that one, and then the one against Ferencvaros, I think, as well. So
O'Reilly?
I don't think O'Reilly's taken one, no. McGregor did have a pretty good record from spot kicks up to that point, and I think he missed two in pretty quick succession and hasn't taken one since, but it might be worth having a look at. But it wasn't the most convincing of penalties, put it that way. But as you said, there's still more.
Yep, so that was us in the lead, and we actually controlled the game. We were playing very well. I mean, Livingston had a chance early on when Scales misjudged a ball and Hart had a good save. But then unfortunately, after about half an hour, Scales and the Baron managed to misjudge another ball. Joe Hart came careering out and he caught Sangara, missed the ball completely, and unfortunately he was sent off for the first time in his career. Can you believe that? His first ever red card.
I did find that astonishing given his age.
Interestingly enough, it was with Ian Crocker, that great, great commentator, said that he was sent off for denying a goal scoring opportunity. It wasn't violent conduct, so he'll only miss the Motherwell game next Saturday, which could be a problem, because we'll talk about Joe Hart's replacement, Scott Bain, in a wee while. But really, it was a red card. I thought the referee, John Beaton, was rubbish. I mean, he gave us some ludicrous yellow cards before that.
Card happy, John.
Card happy. I mean, O'Reilly got done a terrible challenge. It could easily, I think, on VAR, be a red card, of course. Good old VAR, I think, checked it for like 20 seconds. I thought Beaton was terrible as usual, but unfortunately, this was a red card. And Joe Hart sent off, suspended for one game. But you want to talk more about the role of the defenders in that red card?
Well, I just think that it's been coming for weeks now, to be honest with you. I just think that the line we're playing at the moment is so, so high. Livingston, I think, to their credit, it was one of the few things they did do good in the game. Looked to obviously exploit it with these direct balls over the top and behind, and they did on a couple of different occasions cause us bother. Another big issue, I think, is, and again, we can't really legislate for this, the amount of injuries, now suspensions obviously going into the game against Lazio as well, because we need to take that into account. We've not had a settled centre-back pairing. We've not had a settled back four at all this season. And that is obviously a real problem, I think, when it comes to playing this incredibly high line that we seem to be playing at the moment. Joe Hart, at the age of, what, 36 now, he's never been known as a sweeper keeper as
no,
such.
No.
But it's a role he has performed, to his credit, fairly well throughout the opening weeks of this season, despite the fact that at his age and given his certain limitations, and I'm not aiming this at anyone in the older age category here, Rizzo, by the way, before you take any offence.
You bastard.
But I just think that with those direct balls in behind, you could see it against Feyenoord, yeah, at Ibrox as well. He's rushing off his line. Again, to his credit, more often than not, he's getting there before the striker. He's managing to obviously perform that role. But I just think it was inevitable, because we're asking a guy who, again, with those certain limitations, is not suited to playing that particular role. So I just thought it's been coming for weeks, to be honest, and I wasn't surprised. As you say, it's a Stonewall red card. I don't think there's any debate about it. We're just fortunate, obviously, that it's for denying a clear goal-scoring opportunity as opposed to violent or reckless conduct endangering an opponent, as they now call it, because we'll come on to it. As much as we've obviously slated Joe Hart here, we don't exactly, we're not exactly blessed with depth in that area.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Let's just talk about it now, before we go into the good stuff. Yes, Scott Bain replaced him. Poor old James Forrest, his first start since January, lasted only half an hour. He was replaced, Scott Bain. Scott Bain actually, I don't think, had very much to do, but there were still worries, especially when we were cruising in the game, 2-0 ahead. He decided to dally in the ball, pass it right to Noble, who really should have done better.
Noble?
Nubly. He's Noble, I mean. Nubly, who really should have done better, but and like scooped over the bar. Then there was another incident where there was a cross when it looked like it was harmlessly going past for a goal kick, and then Scott Bain decided to sort of flapper it and get away a corner. Of course, I was at, unfortunately, Scott Bain's last start for Celtic when we lost 4-2 East of Road last season, when he let one in that he should have saved. And
you were in the home end for that one, weren't you, Joe?
I was with Gig Pods Lee. Sadly, I won't be able to go in the home end with him when we play them next one, so I'm going to be in London. But I think Steve is, so what's the space for more Gig Pod adventures? But really, Scott Bain, just not. In fact, we should talk about the goalkeeping position this year, the put overall, because Joe Hart, for the most part, has been good, you have to say that. Okay, yeah, he's made mistakes, but even this season, he's made some good saves. I mean, last week when it was nothing each, played well at Ibrox in a game which I said I wasn't going to watch when Rangers were a set piece, but he coped. But his contract's up at the end of the season. Obviously, he's no long term solution. Scott Bain, who did get a long term contract at the end of last season, although it was never confirmed by Celtic, oddly enough. And Ben Sigrist, who is more well known now for being in the Australian Daily Mail website rather than playing football, not included in the Champions League squad, but now he's going back in the squad next weekend. We've really made I know people are going on about buying left backs and every other position, and obviously we need another left back, because I think Bellamy's just out of the picture completely. Greg Taylor, though, I think he's stood up well the last couple of weeks, but he's still obviously no long term solution. But we really need the goalkeeping situation sorted, and while I'm confident we can get the job done at Motherwell next week, I think it'll be a hard game, and I think even having Scott Bain in goal will make that even harder, because he's not a good goalkeeper at all. It's mad that he's been here for so many years and he's just not very good at all.
No, I 100% agree. It was a major, major worry. Obviously off the back, I suppose, his last performance at Easter Road, as you said, you did have the privilege, John, of witnessing that in the flesh. But it is a worry. It was a worry in the summer. It was an area that needed to be addressed. I know we're going to sit here now. I don't care what anyone says. I think everyone in the summer was of the opinion that Wilkes, not necessarily Joe Hart, had to be moved on or anything like that, as such, that we did need to bring in someone who was capable of replacing him. And obviously, a link with the Croatian national goalkeeper, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation here, and I make no apologies for it, Livakovic,
yeah.
I believe, who ended up going to, and again, tricky pronunciation here for me, Fenerbahce.
Yeah.
Just to double check I got that correct there, John, thank you.
Yes, because I know I'm a stickler for pronunciation.
I know you are the master of pronunciation.
I am indeed.
But that was the only real major link I can remember.
Do you even think that was a real link?
No, to be honest, I thought it was paper talk more than anything else. And as I say, that is an area that had to be addressed in the summer, more so now. Joe Hart, to his credit, did save the penalty in midweek, obviously, having committed a bit of a howler for the first goal. But as an area, it needs to be addressed. I think we see the real lack of depth there as well, with Scott Bain coming in. I don't care how much Brendan talks about being a really good understudy or playing the way you want a keeper to play in the modern era, being good with his feet. He wasn't very good with his feet for that.
No.
That chance he gifted Joe Noble, or Noble, as you've
exactly
him now.
Noble to me.
So I think that is the real area that needs to be addressed in this team.
I know, because if Joe Hart is injured, we're up shit creek, basically.
Yep.
Because we couldn't have Scott Bain as goalkeeper for like a number of weeks. It'd be terrible. I mean, it wouldn't have shocked me if he made some daft mistake next week against Motherwell, and we'll need our strikers to bail him out.
And I think a big concern as well, John, is, and again, I know he had a bit of a howler in midweek and not a great performance again today, obviously, with the sending off, but Joe Hart's then going to be coming into this Lazio game off the back of having not played that weekend. And again, it's another instance of us having to chop and change, be it through injury or suspension at the back.
I know, that's, in a way, we've done well to get the results that we have. We all the issues we've got in the squad, with injuries, poor form, just like players not being available. And even in the Champions League, we're going to be without like the Baron and home for a game. And I don't know, have we played a strong, I think we've played the strongest team maybe once. Well, in fact, I was going to say we played the strongest team against Aberdeen, but Hitati, I think, got injured that day, didn't he? And CCB definitely got injured that day. So we've not,
Alston, I believe, was at right back, wasn't he, as well?
Yeah, AJ hadn't started. So we've not played the strongest team once a season yet. We're still grinding out results, and I think we should talk
that,
more.
Well, that is to their credit, absolutely. I know we're coming across as, I think, quite negative here. Off the back of what was a very good performance.
Not, I think,
today.
It was a brilliant win today, and I think today showed Brendan's brilliant man management. I mean, when Celtic had been reduced to 10 men before, he's come up trumps. Look at Ibrox years ago. I mean, could have done it in the midweek, because like the game was a bogey as soon as we got two players set off. But we didn't get hammered like 3 or 4-0. But no, I thought today was a brilliant win, and the second half was a great performance. The second goal, Kyogo, who I thought had a quiet-ish game, done well for it. He played a brilliant ball into the box. Dyson sort of tried to score, but the ball ended up hitting his arse. The goalie saved it. And there was Matt O'Reilly for close range to stab in the net. His fourth goal in 6 games. And I think he's been our best player this season. And unfortunately, slightly negative, I think, I mean, we know at least bid 10 million for him in the transfer window. We thankfully turned it down. I'm sure clubs will be in for him in January, but we won't sell him. It wouldn't have shocked me if we sold him for like 15, 20 million next summer, especially if he gets like at least 10 goals, which I'm sure he will if he stays fit. I mean, he's on 4 for 6 games. I don't even, did he score 4 last season in total? I think
not in the Premiership, no.
He didn't score until like January or February last season.
Oh, there was that stat that Ian Crocker, as you say,
yes,
wonderful commentator,
yes,
loved to roll out every time we were televised on Sky Sports. But I do agree. I think the one complaint over his performances last season, because he did register, and I don't have the numbers to hand,
obviously,
because we do not do research on Gigpod.
No.
He did register a ridiculous number of assists.
Top assists in the league.
However, the one big complaint was in front of goal. And I think it was a valid complaint actually in the 0-0 with St. John's a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
As the Polis go flying by.
Great guys.
Club there, John.
Great guys.
That was a it was a major complaint of the 0-0 with St Johnstone for myself, and also of last season, was that he did not get enough goals. But now that he's added those goals to his game, he's making those late runs into the box. Stevie said it on the Instagram page earlier, from Milan, by the way. I don't know if the listeners know he is in Milan at the moment, not that he's mentioned. He did mention that it was, he's sort of in that Stuart Armstrong mould, if you like, that he's making those late runs into the box and getting goals now. And I actually thought, to be honest, I thought Kyogo had a very good game today. I think he was very selfless. I think in terms of a lot of the running he did, again, for that goal there, the run he did last weekend as well for O'Reilly's goal as well. I think, to be honest, this new kind of role he's taking on is this false nine, doing a lot of work outside the box. He contributed greatly, obviously, again today. And a lot of stuff he had to do off the ball as well in terms of pressing with Dyson, who, briefly, as he sometimes does in the final third, however, we will come on to his goal, which was excellent, does sometimes forget how to play football in the final third of the pitch. Not for, obviously, his lack of effort and his running off the ball, superb as ever today. But I thought it was an excellent finish from O'Reilly, and as I say, now that he's added those goals to his game, you mentioned obviously Leeds there had made a bid for him. I think there's one or two other clubs in the Championship towards the higher end.
I think he's better than that.
That we're holding about. Absolutely do.
I think he could play in the Premier League.
Oh, 100%.
Same with Stuart Armstrong. It actually reminds me a lot of Stan Petroff. I think he's probably, he's probably our most pure goal scoring midfielder since Armstrong. I mean, I don't think we'd ended it, has got the number of goals as Armstrong as O'Reilly could get. I mean, I think the year we won the Invincible Treble, I think Armstrong scored 17 goals somewhere.
Yeah.
So, if O'Reilly can get anything like that, then I think he's definitely good enough for the Premier League, the good old English Premier League. But, I mean, it's just a pity that if we do see him, we'll probably replace him with somebody that's not as good, known as. But then I suppose O'Reilly was a punt in the first place, because we only spent, I think, 1 million, 1.5 million on him.
Yeah, we tried the back to of a pretty short stint at MK Dons as well.
Look, we tried to buy, was it Riley McGee for Middlesbrough?
Riley McGree,
that was it. We tried to buy him, he went to Middlesbrough, and O'Reilly came in, he's done excellent, and I thought today was another good performance. I actually thought he did well against Feyenoord as well.
I think you made the point earlier, I think he has been our best player all season.
He was at the heart of most of the good things against Feyenoord. So
he's been our best player this
year. That made it 2-0. We controlled the game. I mean, Livingston did have that one chance when Scott Bain had a brain fart. But we've talked about that. And then we scored, finished the scoring in injury time. And I think this is Dyson's best goal for Celtic. It was just
really? Better than the one at Easter Road?
Yep. I think so, because his movement before it was brilliant. When he turned the man, put a guy there. Chris Sutton said it was Johan Cruyff-esque. I don't know if I'd go that far. But it was a great turn, left his man on the deck, and he just curled a brilliant shot into the top corner. And very undyingly, well, it isn't undyingly, because in that game against Hibs, he missed an absolute sitter literally a minute before he scored that goal. But it was a great goal, and I think Dyson has been, that's his first goal of the season.
I know.
But his work rate is just ridiculous. He works so hard, and he does frustrate a lot, because he's not a consistent goal scorer, because he's not a striker, though he was, interestingly enough, the main striker for a lot of the time when we got reduced to 10 men. Hugo drifted over the wing, they share the same goal at. And obviously, I think Brendan, just like Ange did, Brendan absolutely loves him. And I think as long as he's fit, he'll be in the starting lineup. And I thought that was a brilliant, brilliant goal. And it capped off, I think that's our best performance of the season. Better than last week, better than Ibrox, where, even though it was a brilliant win, we won the great.
It was a more complete performance.
More complete.
I mean, more complete performance.
We had that wee dodgy spell after we get reduced to 10 men, as can happen. But before that, we were excellent. And second half, with 10 men, we controlled the game and everybody contributed. And I thought it's really, that's the sort of result that Brendan really expects from him. A tough away venue where we have struggled in the past, reduced to 10 men. And it was a stroll in the park, second half.
Just using all his years of experience at, and again, this will sound disrespectful, but at the true elite level, a much higher level, obviously, of opposition he has faced in the past in his career than Livingston today, no disrespect. But that is what you expect for Brendan Rodgers. Dyson, again, you make some good points there. I think it has been excellent this season in large parts. My only criticism was, again, quite often in that final third. After applauding us for being wonderful podcasters, quite often in that final third, he does temporarily forget how to play football, but that wasn't the only occasion today. There was one or two others I can think of that spring to mind where he took one touch, two touches, great first touches, and just eliminated opponents for the game. And he capped it off with an absolutely brilliant finish. It is up there in terms of his best Celtic goals. I don't know if it's quite as good as the one at Easter Road, but I will say it was no less than he deserved. It was unfortunate last week that he scored that goal that was obviously ruled out for offside. He did deserve to get off the mark for the season. As you say, he can be a bit frustrating at times in and around that final third because he doesn't really give you consistent output goal scorer. I did actually, again, I think that was another positive thing to take from today. And one thing that I'm sure they've worked on as well, because I remember from his first spell here, they always made the point of saying that under Brendan, they do train sometimes with 10 men versus 11 to prepare for these scenarios. And I'm sure this is something that they've worked on. But I did actually quite like when they were working almost as a front two there, Kyogo and Dyson. Whether or not it's something we use more often throughout the course of the season, or as I say, maybe in the European games, for example, but I did think it worked very well. I made a complaint, obviously, earlier on about the lack of not so much depth, because we have numbers, but maybe quality in those wide areas at the moment. So perhaps going with those two through the middle could be something we look to explore, but we'll wait and see on that front, John. But it worked very well today, and I thought Dyson was excellent again. Deserved his goal.
Yeah, and I thought the other players that played well, I thought Greg Taylor, first half especially, was excellent. I actually thought the mistake for the red card aside, that Scales and the Baron did well, it could have been a difficult game for them. I thought that Callum McGregor was excellent for the most part as well. I mean,
I thought Callum McGregor was outstanding.
His only mistake was when we had a 5-on-2.
Yes.
And he took the wrong option.
What I would say there is actually O'Reilly, I think, initially with that pass into McGregor, should play in Kyogo when he's wide. But I do agree.
Yeah, that's true. That was the only mistake. But McGregor, especially at the end of the first half, when we were sort of losing our heads a bit, he just took control of the game.
Ran the game.
And I thought he was excellent. And another decent performance for him. And I thought, really, Brendan was excellent as well at the end of the game. I think we better talk about this when a young fan, an over-exuberant fan, and who can blame him after watching that, ran on the pitch to try and see his heroes, and he was going to be lifted by the stewards, but thankfully Brendan was there to shoo the stewards away, ensure that the fan got back to the Celtic support and wasn't arrested. Brendan, what a man you are. And I actually said in a group chat that you're no one, thanks for the invite, but you might be one day.
I might be soon.
That if a former manager, Ange, had done that appeal, would have been wanting him knighted for that sort of thing.
Yes.
And I'm sure that Brendan done that out of the kindness of his heart, not to make himself a good...
No, definitely not.
Not to get a group of fans who don't like him on his side or anything. But no, I thought that was good. But Brendan, his interview about it was fantastic after the game as well.
It was tremendous. As you said there, the young boy just wanted on to see his heroes.
Exactly.
And he got to meet the biggest hero of all.
Exactly.
Like Brendan. Now that was excellent. To be fair, we are obviously being quite cynical in saying that he did it for his own motivations. But as he said in the interview afterwards, it was the common sense approach. He had three stewards tackling this young fan who was just exuberant, as hip supporters would say after a certain Scottish Cup final. And it was the common sense approach to obviously allow him back into the stands with the away fans there. Possibly a larger point, John, could be made here about the policing and general treatment of Scottish football fans. However, this is not the place for it, because we do not take ourselves seriously enough to make that point. But no, a good moment nonetheless. Vintage Brendan.
It was, and it was a vintage Brendan Rodgers. Here the performance day, 3-0 win, we're still top of the league, and that's all you can ask for, especially in the back of a difficult game in Europe. So we're coming up to the end of the game. We've still got another couple of announcements to go, but that's the end of the stuff for the game. But unbelievable, we've got a free week this week, a rarity for Celtic, and so we're no batting action until next Saturday at lunchtime against Motherwell at Firth Park, not on TV, But it's so they can show it live in pay-per-view. So thank you, Sky, for not covering a decent game for some reason.
I'll tell you who does not have a free week, though, John.
Who will that be? Yes, that's right, yes. Brilliant by...
Seamless.
Brilliant transition there. Yep, you can mention what's happening if you'd like, because I'm not a part of it yet.
I'm not entirely sure as to when it will be out, however, myself and our fearless leader, as well as an individual who will remain nameless for the time being...
Not me.
Not yourself, John, obviously. You would have a lawyer yourself to... Only here for a visit.
I will eventually.
You will eventually. Once you see those numbers in terms of downloads, Sean, honestly, they are superb. So we will be back at some stage before the Motherwell game. Recording, of course, as always, in wonderful Molly Malone's.
Yes.
Thank you once again to them for their fantastic hospitality. Again, just covering a wide range of subjects, John, exempt from Celtic, of course. So if any listeners want to tune in to hear me and our fearless leader talk a lot of shite, then only here for a visit. Should be out later this week.
Yep, and now it's time for a gig pod rarity. A plug, but it is somebody that deserves it. I don't know if people follow me on Instagram and on Twitter. Daily Celtic, who's been a big help for us. He's been able to go to the press conferences for us at Leinsfield when me and Dan and our fearless leader aren't available to go. He's been able to go, and in his real life, as opposed to gig pod life, he is currently at college, training to be a barber, and from December, he will be taking clients, and if you want to become a client of his, then no doubt it'll be as good as he is at hairdressing as he is at asking questions at press conferences, which is good. You can follow him on Instagram at D1Cuts, and that's the letter D, the number 1, CUTZZ_, and I'll say that again, D1CUTZZ_. So give Daily Celtic a follow on his Instagram, D1Cuts, for progress and updates as he starts to begin his career as a barber. He's been taking clients on since December. We don't usually do stuff like this in GigPod, but he is a part of the GigPod family. Yes, so he gets the GigPod thumbs up seal of approval. Dan, do you give him the thumbs up?
100%. I did think you were about to start spelling out his Instagram handle there phonetically at one stage, but yes, yes, he does get the GigPod seal of approval, provided we are privy to free haircuts at some stage down the line, I would imagine, for this promo, John. Not that you've
well,
got much left there.
You bastard.
I'm not long behind you.
I won't be needing one. I should get a hair transplant or something, I know. Keep that in. Right, so that's the end of this week's guide. But we will be back after the Motherwell game with a review of the Motherwell game and a preview of Lazio. And we'll probably do the Lazio review live, perhaps from Molly Malone's. That is the plan with me and our fearless leader. And will you be attending the Lazio game?
That might be there, yes.
So, Dan, thanks for coming on this week's pod, as ever.
Listen, it's a pleasure, as always, as Brendan would say.
Yes, and you will be back, of course, with Stevie and someone who will, for them, perhaps remain nameless for only here.
No, we'll be named eventually. Don't worry about that.
It will be for the second episode of that wonderful podcast series. Right, so we'll be back next week. Sorry about maybe if the volume is not as good as usual, but it is a pub and Molly Malone's are great to us, and we'll never stop coming here.
We'll never criticise them.
Exactly.
Fantastic pub. A brave pub.
Not as loud as it was either. So thanks everybody for listening. Well done, Celtic, today. We'll be back next week with a couple of podcasts, and hail, hail.
Social Podcast Network.